Let's get them boys here tonight to tell you about soul survivors and bad drivers and death designers. Come on! Boys in the house.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
John.
Yeah.
Me. Hey, John. Hello.
And welcome to our annual spooky special, Soul Survivors, the Final Destination Saga. This week we are reviewing Final Destination 3. As always, Sean will give us the plot in 5 words, we'll give our first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But before we do any of that, we go back to TV Corner. For the last time,
Chucky for hopefully, I mean not hopefully, I shouldn't say hopefully, possibly the last time we're going to review a Chucky episode.
Yes, Chucky season 3 episode 8, titled coincidentally Final Destination. So,
which I was trying to figure out what the association was with this, but it just feels kind of like a definitive, if the series doesn't come back, there, this was it.
Yeah, and they left it open. So, they left it with the possibility of another season. But from what I heard already, is Dan Mancini is already writing another movie, which is supposed to like run concurrently with the show. So that could mean it could be like a different character. Maybe a different doll is the way it sounded when he said it. But with the way it ended now, I'm pretty sure we're just going to be like, let's see. My guess is that we're just going to see season 4 in whatever movie he ends up making.
Because I could see. Should we just talk about what happened in this episode, I guess?
Okay. Tiffany escaped. Tiffany escaped jail, even though she was for sure dead. Chucky possessed Jake. Jake does a spot on Brad Dourif. Zachary Arthur does a spot on Bradley Dourif.
Yeah, he was
accent.
Good as a bad guy. Good. I was like, I would have liked to have watched this for a full season, I think.
Yeah, where was all this? This was good. They haven't done anything with Jake in like 2 seasons. So it's nice to for him to do something.
Chucky blew up the White House.
Chucky blew up the White House, yes.
We go into that guy that was an incidental antagonist finally gets killed. That character was kind of lame. I don't know why it lasted the whole season, but
yeah, just framing the I think his name was Price, right?
I think so.
Framing him as like the kind of bad guy pulling all the strings, and then they kind of give him this memorable death, right? Because like all the other ghosts and the, as it's burning, all the other ghosts kill him, and then his face melts or something. Which
did not understand, like the ghost of like one of them was Abraham Lincoln, I think.
I did not understand that. I think we both have commented on the fact that this whole ghost stuff just is not Chucky. This is not at all Chucky's.
It's not working.
Yeah. I did like this, that he kind of meets his dad again, which is a good, like, going back to the first episode, which kind of feels like the series is wrapping up. They have a nice moment together, and they kind of have like a resolution to that relationship.
That was like a nice, because he was being aggressive, like wanting to hit his son, and Jake finally says, "I forgive you."
Fucking gay. And,
It kind of turns into like him saying he was just trying to do that to make sure that Jake went back to his body and left instead of, because he knew he was going to lose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if I can trust a guy with a really bad prosthetic beard.
Beard, but mustache, whatever.
Whatever it was, yeah. It's
like, he looked like the Amish type.
I was gonna say, it looked like they were making fun of Amish people. Yeah,
yeah. I was like, did when I saw that, I was like, did he have that fucking thing since the first season?
I think they just added that for whatever reason.
This is
weird. To differentiate the three different Devon Sawas you're going to see.
Fire continuity. Fire scripty. They clearly did not do any research. It's about to be whatever. I think they underplayed the moment where Jake meets Chucky, right? Chucky? Yeah. Well, he first meets what's it, Charles Lee Ray or whatever.
Yes.
I think they underplay it because he meets the old version, and they just sort of. This is a big moment because they've actually like not many people have actually met Charles Lee Ray since he became Chucky, right? So
yeah,
and for him to actually meet him, there was never that moment. It wasn't. I don't think they quite nailed that moment because I felt like I thought they were gonna play it like Jake didn't know who he was for a second, like, oh, who is this? And he starts talking to him, and then he talks to him and realizes, oh fuck, you're this guy. You know what I mean? But they just sort of almost, they just played it like, oh, they immediately knew each other, and then they just kind of progressed it to the next scene where, really cool scene where like we see all the different stages of Chucky basically that we've seen on the TV show.
Yeah, that we've been introduced to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Watching his life and laughing or whatever in a movie theater type set.
Yes, yeah. But then they still like that weird to trick Jake pretending that Good Chucky was good. I don't know why Jake was so hung up on like Good Chucky being good.
It's a poor plot point device. Yeah, that didn't seem particularly like cleverly motivated for him.
Yeah, because I feel like any of the Chuckies could have duped him. It didn't seem very difficult to dupe him. They just had to like make sure he stayed in one place for like, I don't know, 5 minutes.
And like he killed their friend, the redhead girl with the glasses, right? Killed somebody. Good Chucky killed somebody. Like, why would, I don't know, why would he give him the benefit of the doubt? Like, he's already proven to be untrustworthy.
Yeah. There's like one out though that the Chucky who possesses Jake's body is under the impression that he killed the president's son, but the president's son, whatever his name is the only guy that's still alive.
Mm-hmm.
They are unaware that he's alive. And then Jake / Chucky convinces him to go to John Waters' house. I was waiting for John Waters to pop up because he's the thumbnail.
Oh yeah, we'll get there.
Get fucking Caroline or whatever that little girl's name is, and like,
yeah,
it's wild and a revelation that she's still evil. Oh wait, no, it's not. So I don't.
yeah. Like, I don't know. I don't know why they spend so much time looking for her. You know.
Yeah.
Two things. I think How much? Let me ask you this. Like, what do you think the show would be if they did new characters every year?
Be better.
I think so. Like American Horror Story type thing where it's like a new,
yeah,
and maybe you loosely connect them
and or kind of like an American Horror Story, and what they kind of did here with Devon Sawa and I forget the other actor's name, but just make them different. That's right. Actors, you know, make them different characters, sorry, and keep the same cast if you want. Sure.
I know that's like hindsight, right? And that didn't seem like the show maybe Don Mancini wanted to make, but the way they treated the three leads was like they were so an afterthought this year.
Yes.
And which I think hurt this family, the first family or whatever, having any kind of character development. You know what I mean? So
it's also like the way it ended, after we said like these characters have like poor decision making skills, I guess, at this point. I was like, eh, okay, this is fine. I don't care that this is the way it's ending.
Yeah. I think it was also kind of cool, real quick, I'll just note again, like, that Brad Dourif and like Fiona Dourif got to share that one scene together. And
yeah, that's cool.
That was really cool when they're both ghosts, and it's like, that was a nice moment. Kind of skipping ahead, I guess. It was kind of interesting that Chucky was in Jake. I almost want to see a whole season of that. That would have been kind of fun, right?
Because he was doing a fucking great job. I was like, man, he's like really acting
his ass off.
That's cool. Yeah. This has been kind of a mid character the entire time.
Yeah, he's had like no character development, right? Like since
boring.
Some point during the second season. Yeah.
Oh, fuck it, but Chucky makes a reference to Jake being jacked. I thought that was funny.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
Something like Jake's jacked, yeah.
Yeah, that was a great moment. And then what happened here? So the White House burns, the son escapes, the first son or whatever. And they have. I have to note the terrible blue green screen they did with this place on fire was awful.
Where it's Devin Sawa as his dad, the president, and the young. Jacob, or what's his name?
Which,
the kid that we never
met.
So he stays in the stays in the Phantom of the Opera costume. We never see this kid's face.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They didn't really like. Again, like spend enough time with that, right? They could have really built that out and really introduced this whole other kid or done some much more with it, but they just left it where it was. And then we get this awkward scene where the kid's watching the White House burn and he sees his dad and the Phantom of the Opera outfit kid.
And then it blows up,
yeah. And democracy died because it blew up.
Yeah, tonight democracy died. Something I thought was silly. The kids stopped fighting at the end of the show. It's like you got John Waters, who is in his 70s, I think, and then you have a child who is the younger sister of what's her name?
Lexi.
I don't have to remember their names anymore.
Lexi.
Yeah. And then you get I guess Jacob's Chucky would have been the main threat. I guess John Waters had a gun. But I don't understand, after fighting all these people for 3 years, all of a sudden they can't fight John Waters and a child.
It's a bit of a stretch that Lexi couldn't take down a 7-year-old gay man. Very frail, skinny gay man.
Just and again, the sister is a child. Just fucking, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, they were just like kind of, it felt like they were fast tracking the way the show ended, almost like they rewrote it.
I think, like, to me, this episode has a lot of ups and downs, but to me, everything with John Waters, all went off a cliff to me. Like, this is so bad. I think it's terrible. Like, just the only little like nugget of information I did like was that John Waters plays Wendell Wilkins, and he's like the creator of the good guy doll, and he was inspired because his kid was killed or something, right?
Yes.
And,
do you know if that's because I don't remember Seed of Chucky, but I know he was in that movie.
But he played a different character. I did read about that. Yeah, he did play. I saw an interview where John Waters was like, I was a huge fan of Chucky and I asked him to be put in the movie, but he was just another character.
Oh, did you read that trivia? Maybe not even for Chucky. Was it for a different thing? Like a third installment of a movie?
Is John Waters in Final Destination 3?
No, he's we'll talk about that when we get to there. but it is connected. It is funny that we're getting Final Destination the episode, and there is a bit of trivia about John Waters in Final Destination 3.
Oh yeah. I know what you're referring to now. Yes. Now I remember. Yes, I did read that too. I know what you were talking about. I think that's where I got that information from.
I read it, I was like, this is so coincidental.
That's right, and well, see, he asked for... That was the movie he was put in because he asked to be in it. But he wasn't this character. Yeah. It's funny. And then, like you described, they basically, like, lure the kids there to his mansion or whatever and body transfer Jake back into a good guy doll.
The original prototype, right?
And then Tiffany shows up.
All set up by the sister...
The book, the Necronomicon voodoo for dummies. Whatever. Yeah. And they used it to transfer bodies or whatever. Pretty easily. There was no suspense here. And then
it just cuts to it, right?
It just happens and Chucky becomes, Chucky again.
They don't show you, but you can already allude that they're going to transfer the kids into dolls.
Oh, yeah, dude.
But, like, they don't show it. And then when they finally show it, I'm like, they became the NSYNC dolls from the music video for Bye Bye Bye. They're the
biggest letdown I think, like, I've ever seen.
Awful, dude.
It looked god awful, dude. This was
for the first time in the entire series or any of the movies, they CGI their actual heads onto little dolls that are walking around.
I was so disappointed by that because I was thinking, like, we have the guy who invented the doll, a doll maker. We went to his fucking house, origin of the doll maker. And they build it up. It's like, oh, look, you think you're going to see a fucking Lexi, Jake, I think Devin was his name, right? We're going to see cool dolls. I was like, oh, that'd be cool. It sucks, right? Because they're going to be in these dolls. But it's cool that we're going to see the dolls. Cut to them in the worst, like, terrible, marionette, maybe Barbie doll bullshit, with described.
Like the Bye 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 dolls from NSYNC music video. Or they kind of look like three Woodies, or what's a Woody from Toy Story is like girlfriend, supposed to be girlfriend.
Not the
little Bo Peep doll, but you remember in like the third movie or whatever.
The redhead.
Yes. It looked like three of those.
What's her name? Sally? No. Clementine? Jesse. It was Jesse.
Folks, Yolanda remembers character names from Toy Story, but we can't remember the these characters in this show. Three seasons.
We only spent like months watching it.
And the only reason I remember Devin's name this episode is because they do the wraparound thing with Chucky, like sitting down. And the thing is, like, they show the recap of how many people died this season. But one of them he wasn't involved with, and he wouldn't have known about. The dude, Price, getting burned alive, was nobody knows about that.
Yeah. Yeah, none of those characters knew about it, yeah.
Technically, the president's son murdered somebody.
Yeah. Or Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, or it was probably Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln.
And then I guess Tiffany gets put into a doll, and Chucky and
Chucky's having a change of heart because he was so close to being dead forever. So now he wants to have his family back as dolls.
Yeah, they mentioned he misses Gigi, right? Which I'm assuming that's would have been where they would have like maybe picked up. Maybe we get a cameo for them the fourth season.
Oh, and then after all this time of Nika being very careful, she gets fucking got too because they needed to wrap up this case and didn't come back.
Yeah, well, they leave it open, right? Because she's like, she shows up at the house, and then John Waters is pointing a gun at her, and then we hear her scream. Yeah. Right. I think Nika, a way I would describe Nika, I had a thought where it's like, she's basically Job, right? She gets like all the bad shit happened to her, that she never gets any kind of like satisfaction. So I'm assuming Nika will be in the next movie, whatever that may be.
And hopefully something comes out, because that was like kind of a weird ending. Again, it just felt very fast tracked in case like the series didn't come back.
Yeah, to me a movie makes sense.
Just real quick before I forget, Chucky, his recap. And he says something nice about like, and everybody this except for Devin. Fuck that guy. Yeah. I was like, what?
Yeah.
This has always had it out for Devin, right? Like, because Devin was always his foil.
We have always had it out for Devin. We thought he was going to die since the first season. Yet here he is. Two seasons later. Yeah.
Can't kill these kids. In fact, now they're basically immortal. So, What happens to their bodies? Are they just, I'm assuming, just hanging out in his house then?
I don't know, man. I think they clearly ran out of money. I don't know.
Why does Nika had a tracker on Tiffany's car, I guess?
Yeah.
And then waited for a child to drive off in the vehicle. And I think that's the thing. If Nika was just like, hey, let me bring the authorities because we need to catch Jennifer Tilly, I think a lot of things would have been fixed.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't get the movie. So.
Yeah, I think Nika's story should have wrapped up like last season. That would have been the end of it. But yeah. Here we are, still going with it. All right. If you don't have any more thoughts about this season, what are your overall thoughts of the show? If you could sum it up.
I feel like I enjoyed the first season maybe the most. The second season I thought was pretty good. I think I enjoyed it a little more than you did. I like the little bottle up, or they end up being important, but the bottle episodes I thought were fun.
Mm-hmm.
This season wasn't my favorite.
Yeah.
I don't think I really enjoyed myself. And it's not really it was the whole thing. I don't know why I was trying to justify anything. I didn't really understand the season.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go ahead and say that murder mystery episode last season is probably my favorite episode.
Cool. Yeah, more or less the same. I did not like the season at all, nor did I like the way it wrapped up. I still really enjoyed season one. I think season two was also just okay, but I think they went too much into the absurd side, too comical, to where it was just not believable anymore. And I think they struck better balances early on. And as the show went on, it kind of like lost its way a little bit. So, that's unfortunate. It's still, I think, probably overall, maybe one of the better TV shows we reviewed. Not the best ones, but it's not the worst.
No.
So,
this is definitely better than, I think, what, like Chapel Wade. I just,
yeah, that
could not get into that.
Yeah, that, like, yeah, unfortunately, that show just went nowhere. Yeah, just poor direction on that part of the show. Yeah, this was pretty good. I would say overall, I would, you know, I might recommend it depending on the person, but
yeah, I think so too. Like, if it's a good one. It's like, hey, watch Blood Ride, and then if you have time, watch Chucky.
Suburban Screams.
I can't. Watch the last episode of Suburban Screams and then move on.
Yeah. Alrighty. Let's move over to our main review of Final Destination 3. But before we do that, I have trivia that I hope John has not looked up. This year we're doing things a little differently. I've decided to give John trivia or facts about the year the movie was released. This movie was released in 2006.
John, which also I didn't realize, and as I was watching it, I'm like, hey, finally I'm like a little bit older than some of these people, and I'm like, oh, this movie came out in fucking 06. I don't know why I thought it was older than that. I'm like, no.
Yeah, so they basically have been coming out like at this point maybe like every 2-3 years they've been coming out.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I think this was the 3 years, right?
I think so, yeah. Okay, John, in 2006, what was the number one song of the year?
2006, shit. I'm going to assume it was a pop song, right?
I'd say it's trended that way, right? In terms of like what the last two were. It's been pretty broad poppy.
What was it, a one hit wonder?
I think so, yeah.
Was it Vanessa Carlton?
Singing what? No. I don't know if Vanessa Carlton. Oh, Vanessa Carlton. No. But you're on the right, I'll tell you this, you're on the right mind. path.
Is it Torn by Natalie Imbruglia?
No, it's not.
Oh, I think that song's older.
That song might be older, yeah.
Man, I don't know. Michelle Branch?
Michelle Branch? No, no, no.
Is it Friday by Rebecca Black? Oh, no, that came out like 2010 or something.
Yeah.
No.
You ready?
Yeah,
you give up?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if you know this one. Do you know the song? Here, I'll skip ahead. Here's the chorus.
Oh, you had a bad day. Yeah. This was a one-hit wonder. I just saw a video about this guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Canadian. It's like a three-name band name, right? But it's just one guy.
Yeah. It's a Bad Day by Daniel Powter. Pow, like P-O-W-T-E-R, Powter. Yeah. Bad Day. Did not know that was like that big of a song, but I guess it was, right? Like,
yeah, I guess it came out in enough movies. It was a pretty annoying song, so I just didn't want it to be a good, like a number one
Bad
song.
Day. Oh, yeah.
Because it's a very irritating song.
Yeah. Okay.
In fact, my partner said that she fucking hates that song because she feels like the guy's patronizing her as he's singing the song. I'm like, I can hear that now. I can.
Oh, you had a bad day, huh?
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's fucking amazing. Yeah.
Okay. John, 2006. What was the number one movie? The highest grossing movie. Basically, that's what that means. The highest grossing movie.
Final Destination 3.
No, partially not.
2006. Was it a Matrix movie?
It was not.
Interesting.
I'll say it's a sequel, though. I will say.
Toy Story. No. No, I don't know. Cars 2. I don't know. Finding Dory.
It was Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest.
Oh, okay.
Highest grossing movie of that year. And last question. You want to guess the highest grossing horror movie of that year?
Oof. Cabin Fever.
No, actually. I think it did come out that year. That's a good shout. But it, I'll say this again. It is a sequel.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Final Destination 3. 2006. Was it one of the Japanese remakes?
No.
Interesting. No clue.
Saw 3.
You know, I was gonna say a Saw movie, but like I was like, I don't know.
I think I only saw the first one. Like, it was the first Saw movie.
I think Saw 3 is the one with Chester Bennington from Linkin Park, I think, where he dies in the cold open. He gets like ripped apart by like
a,
or he gets, yes, like he's like adhered to like a car seat in some chop shop and he gets like killed that way somehow.
Wow, I didn't know that. R.I.P. Did you see that Chester's mom didn't know that they were getting another member, band member?
And I did see that, and I think like most of the estate was unaware of what was going on too.
Yeah, total cash grab, and they got like this really. Well, I don't want to get to it.
questionable person, Disney level band that it's one of our favorite singers from. Bands at the drive-in, and Mars Volta had some strong words because his wife was one of the
victims
of Danny Masterson, who is best friends with the singer that they chose to replace Chester Bennington.
And she kind of put out that apology, but it wasn't an apology.
Yeah.
It was like oh, I did this, but that's not who I am now kind of thing without saying I'm sorry. Anyways, we could probably move off from that. So Final Destination 3, finished 55th on the list of 100 movies, top-grossing movies. I think it's
this
made...
would have been Mary Elizabeth Winstead's like first major role, I think, right?
Pretty... Yeah, I think so. I don't know. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is one of those actresses for me that has been in a lot of things I've seen, but she kind of didn't get on my radar till like Cloverfield. That makes sense.
Not even Scott Pilgrim?
Was that before?
Yeah.
You know what? I was not really the biggest Scott Pilgrim fan.
Wow.
The movie. I'm not the biggest Edgar Wright fan. Does that track? I like Scott Pilgrim. I've come to appreciate Scott Pilgrim. I think there's still a lot of cool things about it, but I think the movie is indulgent and
She was also in what, Death Proof? She plays,
again,
I think, Bruce,
another director
Bruce Willis's,
I don't have a big affection for.
She played Bruce Willis's daughter, I think, in that Live Free Die Hard movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I stopped watching after the fourth one, I think.
Sky High.
Yeah,
she plays the main antagonist in Sky High.
This was literally her next role after Sky High, according to IMDb. She was in The Ring too.
Yeah, I don't. Like, young Evelyn, I wouldn't remember.
She was in Passions. I saw Passions. Huh.
Yeah, she's in that prequel to The Thing, but that's okay if you don't care about that, because that was not great. She plays Mary Todd in Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Okay, yeah.
There you go.
Honestly, I didn't really take notice of her until the 10 Cloverfield Lane, and after that, I feel like I've seen more things with her, so...
Yeah. Oh, like Birds of Prey.
Birds of Prey, yeah. Not a bad Huntress. Even though I'm not...
It's kind of a bad movie, but yeah.
I was not really excited about what they did with Huntress, though I liked what she did in it. Does that make sense? Like,
yes, absolutely. Because her character was kind of boring, but she made it way more interesting than it should have been.
Exactly, yeah. John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For FD3, or Final Destination 3rd installment, coming in at number 3, finally some goddamn new metal. Coming in at number 2 for FD3, Death really hates teens now. It's like they backtrack having adults die. Anyway. And coming in at number 1 for Final Destination 3, Tony Todd confirmed the devil.
Tony Todd's confirmed the devil. I think Roger Ebert, I found out, named these movies the dead teen movies. And I think that kind of perfectly sums up Final Destination 3, but if do you want to give us your first thoughts, John?
It was just a little unimaginative. I mean, the deaths were fun, but it's becoming kind of like a slapsticky sort of thing now.
Okay.
It feels, somebody quoted, I mean, I'm going to quote one of the reviews saying, like, these are basically comedies now, so understand that and you'll have a fun time. I'm like, I guess, but...
Well, I think...
Oh, also, my other first thought is, I totally remember watching this movie. As I was watching it, I was like, oh, yeah, I remember this fucking movie.
Yeah.
And I remember, I had the same thought I had when I saw it back then, and it is, I was confused for half the movie because I couldn't tell the difference between the two jock guys and... Mm-hmm. The guy that's supposed to be a jerk but like quickly changes his tune literally right after everybody dies and becomes like a good guy. I couldn't differentiate from Mary Elizabeth Winstead's like boyfriend that dies.
Oh, yeah.
So okay. I kept being confused, like, why do I, like, oh. each other's partners died and they aren't together. I was like,
okay. So Glenn Morgan, James Wong have returned to the series after the first movie, and their big idea is that, like, well, one of them is that they feel like they should always have new sets of teens.
Yeah.
And I think it's like, I almost really wish that was the opposite, because it's like, I kind of would like some connection, some like through line through all of these movies, like a character aside from Tony Todd, right? He said, yeah, like some actual like characters that survive and they can kind of elaborate and kind of help out, but they like to just,
well, the brand of the truck that rams into the back of their car when they're stuck at the drive through
mm-hmm.
That comes out in the second movie, so that's a recurring character as well.
That's true. And I think that that's a detriment, right? Because then we get a whole new bunch of characters, and whether you like them or not is gonna just depend on whether you like these guys, what they're doing.
Yeah. And so as I was saying about John Waters, is he had mentioned that this is in his favorite movies of all time, this third one, because he talks about how the Final Destination series is like a more well done camp movie. So, you know, he's like super in exploitation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he mentions like how he would love to be a part of this movie, and he only publicly mentioned that. And he also presents this at like his festivals and stuff, like this movie. But he also publicly mentioned that because last time he did that for Chucky, he got Seed of Chucky, and he was like, maybe I'll be in a Final Destination movie.
I mean, that would be a step up, honestly. So, yeah,
but he got to be in an episode of Chucky called Final Destination. So.
What if that's true? Is it life achievement unlocked? I don't know.
Maybe.
gotta ask him next time I see him. Was it so? Final Destination is known for always having like amazing set pieces in the beginning, right? We had the plane blow up. We've had the amazing highway accident, which I don't think they've topped. I'm just going to go on record now that they've ever topped that. Mm. And they decided to do a roller coaster, which kind of makes sense, right? Like, I don't know if it's just more of recent times, but like, I see more stuff on the news about amusement park rides, people flying out. It's very common for people to fly out of roller coasters, surprisingly. Yeah. And it's also very common for you. The last thing I saw was it in Mexico or Brazil where at a Six Flags where a ride stopped with the people hanging, like they're hanging upside down for like 10 hours or something. So there's a lot of instances of malfunctions at amusement parks. And
I did see that clip of that one ride that's usually shaped like a boat that just kind of flips around, and it's like on a gimbal style thing that swings around while that also spins 360 mm-hmm. On its own. It was shaking so hard, a bunch of people ran up and started using their body weight to keep the ride from falling backwards, the whole thing.
Wow. Yeah. So
it's like, what a bunch of brave people, but, you know, you take that risk when you put yourself in the ride. No, I'm just kidding.
And I think so far out of the three, I think this is the least effective one. I'm not really sure why. It just seemed, didn't quite have the same sort of sizzle as the other ones. I don't know.
The only, I think, death that I was like, oh, that's pretty brutal is the they're like at a low. It's obviously a low is after hours.
I
did read the trivia where they said like, they had to turn a bunch of the labels around because they didn't want to associate these brands with teen death. I'm like, that's not at all what it is. They just didn't get clearance for all this branding. Let's not call it something else. She shoots like the nail gun goes through her face like a bunch of times.
If you have time, John, I think on YouTube I found a video. It's a 90-minute documentary about the making of this movie.
Oh,
I didn't watch the whole thing. I skimmed it, but I skipped parts of it. And apparently the actor who you're referring to, he actually had to learn how to drive that forklift.
Oh yeah. Apparently it took like 2 days to learn how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. They mentioned that. I don't know if that was in the trivia that we usually used, but
I did see that they had to ride that roller coaster like 26 or 27 times to get the shots.
Yeah, and I feel like a lot of it didn't really make much of a difference because a lot of this is CG. Like, so much of this is like CG, green screen. It was kind of missing something, right? It was.
It didn't look great. Like, a lot of it didn't look great.
I don't know.
Like, even Texas Battle, which I did a little bit of research. His full name is Texas Quincy Battle, so his real name is fucking Texas Battle. Mm-hmm. When he's like doing the, he gets killed in the gym. I didn't understand that thing. Just the CGI looked so bad. Looked like a sci-fi movie.
Yeah. I think aside from Mary Elizabeth Winstead, all the other actors were like not, didn't really leave much of an impression on me.
No, they also, sorry, forgive me, I'm still a little congested. The girls that are supposed to be ditzy, it's like they all had weird direction because they weren't stupid. Like, when they're in the tanning bed, they're like, oh, I wonder why it's always so cold. And the other girl's like, oh, it's probably because these things have to be run at a certain temperature. I'm like, I never would have thought of that. That's fun. Mm-hmm. You know. And then, like I said, the dude who ends up being the other main protagonist has like a really wild churn of personality literally after that cold open.
Yeah, I found that a little like, so it was her friend's boyfriend that survived. And I think he has a weird character arc, right? Because he starts off as a really scummy.
He's like a real shithead.
Yeah. He's like taking underskirt pictures of girls and stuff like that in front of her friend and his girlfriend. And suddenly we're supposed to believe after Mary Elizabeth has the premonition and they pull people off the ride. Somehow he's like now a good guy and he's the love interest and he's like backing on her pretty hard. So,
yeah. I mean, I'm glad that they ended it where they're just like friends, but he's also the guy that kind of brings the whole, I mean, that this is also the first time we don't hear Death's design at all in the entire movie, but he's the guy that presents that this is what happened before. Like, if it wasn't for him, they wouldn't have figured it out.
That he had read about it on the internet and stuff. Good point about the they didn't really show you why they're being killed off the way they're being killed off, because there's always like quote unquote death design. It was just sort of random, right? It was like, I'll note that I thought the kills for this movie were particularly awful, like gross, like not like design wise or whatever, but just like as aesthetically they seem really cruel in my opinion, with the two girls in the beginning, ditzy girls, like get burned alive naked or whatever. And
which, by the way, I think we talked about this off the air a little bit, but I didn't, hearing that James Wong convinced those two girls, I think the only reason they had their bottoms on was because they didn't not want to do a nude scene. They're like, we can tan with their fucking clothes on. They're like, no, it's going to show your vulnerability and you know how death just comes for you, and we'll black out the curtains. It'll just be the DP and me. It's like, man,
it's never like that.
You just fucking coerce somebody just so they would stay in the movie and get naked and, you know.
I mean, if they knew their worth, they'd be like, nope, pay me another million. Put a million. Add about six more zeros in front of my check and then we'll talk.
And I'm going to wear a chroma green bikini top. Have fun.
And then not really a fan of either of I guess it was the second death, right? The creepy guy with the hat.
Yeah, what a weird character. Like, he's like getting like really pervy footage on his camera. You find out that he graduated high school like 2 years before that.
Mm-hmm.
They make it seem like he's having a weird change of heart about women right before he dies. Apparently that character wasn't supposed to die. He was supposed to get away, get lucky by only having his neck broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the movie, the cops would see that he has all this stuff on his camera and they'd arrest him forever.
I felt like that would have been too much.
Yeah.
That's not really in line with these movies, the way they end. They're always like, blah, big shock. You know what I mean? So,
which, again, they had to test audience this one and they changed the ending. They wanted to end it, yeah, at the where it happens before, you know, what's going to happen happens, I guess. I won't spoil it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, he dies. I can't say. I thought this one was like, I thought it was pretty interesting because like the motor flies out and it's still running and it chops up his head. It keeps full power and electricity.
Yeah,
it
totally doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like the motor flew out and still had part of the alternator connected to it or something.
So had electricity pumping through it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah.
I mean, some of these things didn't.
Though I think.
Yeah.
Again, I think the positive, the best thing they did was cast Mary Elizabeth Winstead because she's kind of like a really compelling lead despite all the kind of like poor story decisions in this. I thought she was really good.
Which the one and only scene where she's pulling out of a drive or like a parking lot, it had to be pulled off screen because she didn't know how to drive.
That's right. Yeah. And then we get to Texas Battle. Jock, who gets his head crushed in.
Crushed by, I don't even know if that's possible, but by
what were they? They were, machine. What machine was that?
It was like, I think like an upper row sort of deal.
I'm not a gym guy.
Yeah. So. It was like a weird piece of equipment that he was using incorrectly to begin with, I think, because it was like too aggressive. There was a lot of fake weights going on in this scene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Not much else. You want to get to...
Because some of the other deaths are like, I think, really boring. I don't know if it's worth talking about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Do you want to just get to the end and talk about where it was supposed to end and then they reshot, then we'll get to the actual ending.
So spoilers, then they thought what the other protagonist, I don't remember their names, the other protagonist, she thought maybe it was going to be the next person to die, and he was like, oh, I like a fireworks thing, I guess I'm going to have to be aware of fireworks. And then she realizes that her sister was on the ride, and her sister never ever mentioned once that,
that
she
was her sister.
Okay.
Yeah. Were they stepsister? She was like kind of weird. I like that actress though, Amanda Crew.
I was going to mention, I worked in a movie she was in. And a horror movie that we will probably never review because I'm pretty sure it's trash.
Okay.
With Robert Patrick called Tone Deaf.
That's what you think. I'm looking it up.
she was supposed to be the younger sister. That's, remember at the beginning of the movie?
Older sister, because she graduated, right?
No, she wasn't a senior yet. Remember she mentioned, you're not a senior yet. Does mom know you're here?
Mm-hmm.
So they save her life, they save the guy's life, and then the dude who was making really valid points about everything before he saw his
girlfriend? I'd take girlfriend, yeah. They're like,
don't want to make assumptions because they didn't really have a relationship. They didn't talk about anything. They were just there, character wise. And he gets a little weird about everything, and he dies at the carnival, even though it wasn't his turn. That's where everything got all weird for me too, like muddy. I was like, why did this guy die next? I don't get it.
Well, they've never really been consistent about why he skips people, and then we know based on, you know, there's a couple instances in another movie where like we know that this person's supposed to die, but then they get skipped, and then another person dies. So there's like they've never really done any kind of like explanation of that.
No, I feel like the only movie that they were consistent about it was the first one, right?
Yes. With the airplane, which is probably why we think like, oh well, they, you know, it works this way, but this one they act like you said, they actively don't even try to make sense of how they're killing them, how death's killing them.
They kind of tried. They kind of tried with, like, who was in the roller coaster behind you, or I don't know. Which didn't make sense, because when you're watching the whole thing happen at the beginning, it's like people are dying in front and behind at random, it almost feels like.
It almost feels like we were missing an element here, right? Because the way it's portrayed, it's kind of like Mary, Alyssa Winstead, and the other guy are trying to... are going to each person, and that as they go to that person, they die then.
Yeah.
Right.
But I guess they were able to skip everybody, but that other guy still died. And then you get the... So that was supposed to be the way the movie ended, but it didn't test well with audiences, so they added one more scene where it's the Deus Ex Machina of the Final Destination series 6 months later. Mm-hmm. It's always got to be 6 months because death needs to take a break. And they're on a subway, and they're all randomly on the same subway. And then they all die, but Mary Elizabeth Winstead still sees it beforehand, but then it just kind of ends with the events are going to happen regardless? I don't know.
That death found them in New York. Killed them, yeah. in a subway. Another big, like, set piece. Subway killing. I guess the correlation is that because it's a roller coaster and a train, they're like, two, they need to be killed on tracks. Does that track you? Does that make sense?
No, that does not track, but okay.
The track I laid is not... Are we off track? Well,
I'll tell you what, the movie was basically almost a train wreck to begin with.
And well, yeah, we get the whatever character survived all randomly are there in the subway station, and they all get killed. Unless there's like a pullout, another premonition. Whoa.
Yeah, I don't.
That didn't happen. They're dead. yeah.
Did you read that they shot that so last minute that it was like literally months before they released the film?
Right. Yeah.
And this one has like a DVD's like choose your own adventure, like path to their deaths or something.
No, yeah. Fortunately, I did not own the DVD.
I guess we gotta watch it then. I'm just kidding.
Not before Tone Deaf. I got it here. It's on Paramount Plus. 4.9 IMDb out of 10.
Oh, that sounds good. That's generous.
Not to spoil anything, but that's kind of where I'm leaning towards rating this movie. it was... I think we're getting diminishing returns on this series. I think that the first two felt...
Because we watched the first two, I feel like we're going to have that feeling. I feel like if you watched this and had no idea what the other ones were and you just watched this, you'd be like, oh, that was goofy. That was fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But since we know the movies were better before... it's
like... Yeah, I think those movies are incredibly underrated. I don't think Final Destination gets as much... talk amongst the horror community as much. They're appreciated, I know that, but I know they're not like people are always excited about what they're doing with Friday the 13th movies, and there's most of those are terrible.
Yeah.
And I'm being generous with that description. I think those are absolute cash-in movies, but yet somehow that franchise endears more than say Final Destination, so that's why I you know, angle it as like Final Destination being underrated, but
yeah, but I haven't heard of a Final Destination movie that goes to space, so
not yet. 6-1 is out there.
Jason went to space, Leprechaun went to space, I think.
Yeah, Final Destination.
Let us know, but I think Hellraiser went to space. If you want us to do a space only. legendary horror movies.
It has to be four, though. It has to be four. So they got to find a fourth one. Can't do three. Yeah.
It's true.
Do four. Okay. Do you have any other thoughts, or do you want to rate it?
Yeah, we can just rate it. I was trying to find more like things to talk about with this movie. It was kind of boring, to be honest. Like, most of the movie is just not really paying attention.
Okay.
I had to go back and watch some things, and I was like, it wasn't worth that.
Was your pants on or off? No, that's a dumb question.
There was a point where, so I decided to watch it on my laptop because I like to hook up my monitor speaker so I can hear, like, ooh, get my little movie experience. I needed to disconnect something, and then I rented this off Amazon. I don't like their mission statements, but sponsor us anyway. The sound just wasn't working. Like, for like, I had to like reboot everything, and it took like 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, maybe I should have just left the sound off. I don't know.
Yeah, I was interesting. Like, you lost your rental. Is that what you're going to say? Classic Amazon. Okay. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it?
Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
No, wait, don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give FD3.
Is that what we're calling it?
I didn't know. Or sexy. I'm going to go with 4.
See, here's the thing. I think we're going to get much worse movies. I think
I'm
this
give
is
it a 5. I'm sorry. No, I'm
not
is
it 4. You don't take facts.
I just mentioned that I'm like comparing it hard to the other two movies, but again, if this is just like a random movie you didn't know about and you saw it, you probably think it was fine. I don't know.
Yes, in comparison, it's definitely, we've had a drop off, if you will, a down roller coaster, going down the roller coaster now here. Yeah. We're the latter half of the series. As I think easily, the first two are like 7s or 8s, right?
Yeah.
This, I think, is a 5. I think that there are good things, even though I didn't enjoy, say, for instance, like all the gory deaths and stuff. Yeah. I think those work. But again, the story was almost non-existent. We were just going to death scene to death to death scene, and without you know, having to explain anything, which I think this series kind of like has done really well.
Yeah.
So, and then a very unsatisfying ending with anchored by, you know, a very good actress, Bears Winstead. Surprisingly, you know, she kind of grounded so much of this movie. So that's why I'm going to give it a 5, because I think, yeah, I'm thinking ahead, and I could be wrong. I'm thinking ahead. The next two are going to be 5 range, maybe lower. We'll see.
I think we're going to give maybe our last movie a higher rating than it deserves because we know it's going to have a clever ending.
True, yeah. And so from what I understand, the next one was supposed to be the final. The reason why it was called The Final Destination and not Foundation 4 is because it was supposed to be the last one.
Yeah.
And it wasn't,
oh,
obviously.
That's the next movie, you're right. And yeah. Then they try to make one more, right?
And then they just forget all that and then just make Final Destination 5. So the series is like, you know, doesn't have that one singular vision or thought. It's kind of just like a popular horror franchise.
I think they need to replace James Wong. I don't think he should come back because I don't think the dude was imaginative for early 2000s.
Well, the only thing that had a little caveat, David Ellis returns as director for part 2.
Shit.
So he returns for this movie. So we'll see, but I have my reservations.
So they're making a 6th one, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like they should take some big risks because fuck it, might as well. Like, set this shit in like medieval times, like
space.
You know, like a sorcerer is trying to figure out how this works and death design, and people are just, you know, got saved from a horrible jousting accident or something.
They and Devon Sawa.
Yeah.
Freaks back is, that's where he's been the entire series, medieval times.
And yeah, make bring back Tony Todd, but he's best friends with John Waters, right? And then you have them be the creepy deaf design guys.
They're the gay wizards that are the gay leading him.
Yeah, the gay evil wizards.
Gay evil wizards that are like against him.
Oh no, just keep Tony Todd as like the Undertaker, right? He's just like building coffins in the corner.
Writes itself, guys. That easy.
Yeah, I don't know why you're not
gold.
Make the movie already.
Come on. Yeah, I can see it already. Alrighty. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals. Thank you for listening, and as always,
stay spooky. Come on!
Boys in the house.